From WTIV News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson.
I'm Kara Thomas.
And I'm Barbara Jean Johnson. And here are some of the stories we're following this week. Cook County Highway Engineer Sharon Shea Kosmalski has resigned her position effective no later than September 30th of this year. The resignation became effective February 12th and was accepted by the county board at their February 16th meeting. The six-page resignation document states the agreement was made to, quote, resolve all outstanding matters, unquote, between the county and Kosmalski, although those matters are not enumerated. The agreement further states that any issues that might exist do not constitute evidence of wrongful conduct or fault. According to County Attorney Tim Scannell, commissioners have been asked to refer any public inquiries to his office, and Kosmalski is restricted from talking about the details of the agreement. Kosmalski's duties as highway engineer and agriculture inspector will be modified during the period of a search for a new engineer. She will remain at full pay until September 30th, or until such earlier time as she vacates her position. Scannell said he does not know when the county will begin advertising to fill Kosmalski's position. He said one of the reasons for the September 30th departure date is to give the county time to seek a qualified replacement. Newly hired maintenance supervisor Russell Clegstead is not an engineer.
Helicopter crews had to recapture 8 moose last week on the Grand Portage Indian Reservation because their satellite collars weren't transmitting data properly. According to a story in the Duluth News Tribune, the moose were among 9 that had been collared just 11 days earlier. One component of the 8 malfunctioning collars had been unknowingly disabled, preventing the collars from correctly transmitting information to satellites, and biologists on the ground were not receiving data. According to Seth Moore, director of biology for the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, scientists involved in the project had been rushed in programming the collars before the first capture. The collars had arrived later than intended. "Obviously, we would have preferred not to recapture them," said Ron Moen, a biologist with the University of Minnesota Duluth's Natural Resources Research Institute, which is a partner in the project. He added that the researchers involved want to get the best information possible from the collared animals. The recapture effort was apparently well executed on Friday. The moose were located by radio telemetry signals. In all but one case, helicopter crews dropped mesh nets over the animals. One moose wouldn't come out in the open. It had to be immobilized with a drug. The netted moose, still fully awake, were hobbled. Biologists arrived on the ground, activated the disabled satellite transmission switches, took additional blood samples, and released the moose. The process took 6 to 7 minutes, and the collars are all functioning properly.
Governor Tim Pawlenty released plans Monday to close a $1.2 billion state budget deficit, relying on hoped-for federal funding and further cuts to health care and welfare programs. He additionally proposed dramatic long-term reductions to city and county aid that could reshape the way Minnesota's local governments do business. Pawlenty proposed $825 million in cuts, including $250 million in aid to local governments. And to cover the rest of the state's deficit, he added $387 million in additional federal health care spending, even though Congress has not passed the aid. According to Grand Marais City Administrator Mike Roth, the city could end up with less local government aid, or LGA, than it takes to buy a pickup truck. The 2010 certified LGA was to be $170,000. The governor last year unallotted $73,000 of that, and his current proposal will take another $79,000 from the total allotment. That leaves us $17,000 in local government aid, said Roth. The story is just as dire for the county. According to statistics released by the Association of Minnesota Counties, Cook County had $149,598 unallotted from its County Program Aid, or CPA, for 2010 last year. The current reduction would reduce the CPA by another $125,919, according to Auditor-Treasurer Brady Powers. This would leave Cook County with zero program aid. The cuts to local government aid and other payments to cities and counties are bound to be controversial. Pawlenty proposes the $250 million reductions for each of the next 3 years, shrinking a $2.1 billion program that sustains small towns and big cities alike by keeping local property taxes low. Pawlenty also called on the legislature to make his 2009 unallotment budget cuts permanent. Combined with Monday's recommendations, he said that would reduce the projected $5.4 billion deficit in 2012 and 13 by nearly $3 billion. On the other hand, the governor's budget also includes a 20% reduction in the corporate tax rate and a 20% reduction in small business taxes. The DFL will offer its own proposal for solving the deficit after a new budget forecast is released on March 2nd. The party criticized Pawlenty for proposing to cut aid to local governments while insisting that he's holding the line on public safety. The final budget picture may not be clear until the end of the legislative session on May 17th.
Representative David Dill, the 6th District 6A DFLer who represents Cook County, among others, is getting ready for a kidney transplant. According to a report on the Politics in Minnesota website, Dill is taking care of all the complicated medical procedures so that he's ready for a transplant as soon as possible. Dill had a gastric bypass 15 months ago, and he's lost 140 pounds. Dill also continues to work through his chronic kidney disease and intends to begin the transplant process sometime next month. According to Politics in Minnesota, he hopes the recovery time will put him back at the Capitol before the close of the legislative session. The last day of the legislative calendar is May 17th. He said preliminary testing indicates that his sister is a very good match. He plans to have the transplant at Hennepin County Medical Center. Dill has been successfully battling diabetes since 1996.
Last week, the House Telecommunications Regulation and Infrastructure Committee approved a bill that sets goals from the final report of the Minnesota Ultra High Speed Broadband Task Force. The task force was created in 2008 to create broadband goals and a strategy to implement the goals. Cook County is currently awaiting word on first phase funding for a broadband or fiber optic high speed project. Cook County is considered an underserved area where businesses and individuals, schools, and government would benefit from faster and more complete internet service. The bill states it's a goal to make sure all state residents and businesses will have access to high-speed broadband by 2015. Telecom Committee Chair Representative Sheldon Johnson.
Some of the goals entailed both speed and access. In terms of speed, we want to reach the goal of 10 megabits download by 2015 and 5 megabits upload by 2015, and also to have these speeds available to everyone in the state of Minnesota.
Representative Johnson said the bill would position Minnesota near the top of broadband accessible states.
In terms of measuring how well we're doing as a state, to be in the top five states in terms of speed and access, and also be in the top 15 globally, so that we also have a different way of measuring other than just speeds in case technology really takes off. And that 10 and 5 megabit seems rather modest, so that's why we did it that way.
The Ultra High Speed Broadband Task Force group consists of 23 members, including representatives from the business community, telecom providers, educational systems, and others.
A new report reveals how counties across America stack up when it comes to health. The news is not good for Cook County's neighbor to the west. Lake County is ranked as Minnesota's unhealthiest county. The report used data from organizations such as Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the U.S. Census, and the FBI to measure health outcomes. These include early death, how people are feeling, and how many babies are born at a low birth weight, as well as factors such as obesity, alcohol and tobacco use, and exercise and diet habits. Social and economic factors such as unemployment, income, and community safety also were accounted for in addition to access to health care and environmental factors. County health rankings, mobilizing action toward community health, a health report card for almost every one of the nation's more than 3,000 counties, has been released by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the University of Wisconsin's Population Health Institute. Cook County was not included in the report. Even though Lake County ranks at the bottom for health outcomes, the county finished much higher in another aspect of the report called health factors. This classification includes indicators that predict better health in the future, like quality of clinical care, health behaviors, and social and economic factors. Lake County's ranking of 16 out of 85 was the highest in northeastern Minnesota. Nationwide and state-to-state generalizations are being discouraged by the researchers. However, there are some trends. Healthier counties tend to be urban and suburban, while the overwhelming majority of the 50 least healthy counties nationwide are rural, sparsely populated, and where care is poor and the economy is depressed.
In the last decade, studies have found endocrine-disrupting chemicals, or EDCs, in virtually every watershed in the United States. There is growing concern that even at low concentrations, these chemicals may adversely affect fish, wildlife, ecosystems, and human health. For this reason, the Minnesota legislature commissioned a statewide MPCA study on the presence and effects of endocrine-disrupting chemicals in Minnesota's lakes and rivers. The statewide study was released in September of last year, and the results took the MPCA by surprise. To hear the full story, go to our website, WTIP.org. For WTIP News, I'm Barbara Jean Johnson.
I'm Jay Anderson.
And I'm Kara Thomas.